Leaning Toward Wisdom, Episode 4057.
When I looked a little bit closer, I started to see the cracks in us. They run down the lines and we're broken beyond all repair. When I looked a little bit closer, I started to see the look in your eyes. You think I can give you the things that you want, but you're so wrong. And oh, it's head versus heart, and God knows it's hard to face the truth. All in all, we had a good run, but it's time to give it up. Enough is enough, we're bad for each other, and it's time to give it up. I know
Leaning Toward Wisdom, the podcast, episode 4057. All in all, we had a good run, but it's time to give it up.
The flaws in my choice were plain to see.
Is Emily Hearn. It's a 2015 record entitled Hourglass. And the song is Give It Up. The lyric is the title of today's show. All in all, we had a good run, but it's time to give it up. A week or so, she released this new album called Hourglass. Emily hit my music radar a few years ago when she released a song entitled Rooftop. I have a real strong affinity for great female vocalists. And Emily, well, she has joined the ranks of Regina Spektor, Adele, Liza Doolittle, Amy Mann, Eva Cassidy, Ashley Cleveland, Brandi Carlile. Yeah, way too many more to name. Every now and again, I get on a kick of listening to nothing other than female singers. And lately, I'm on that kick. And, well, Emily, she's topping the list of this listening lately. It is the eighth track on this new record, this song, Give It Up. It sparks the conversation today. And no, today's episode is not about on giving up on a relationship that is worn out or that is fizzled, which seems to be the import of the song. But it's about giving up on something so that we can move on to something better. May not technically be giving up at all. Maybe it's improving. Maybe it's growing. I'm supposing that most everything runs its course. And clearly some things last longer than others. I mean, take marriage. I mean, marriage is a lifelong journey. Well, it should be. Till death parts us. I believe that. But you know, sometimes death does part us. And that's less about giving up, I think, and it's more about something just coming to an end. And so I'm not talking about giving up on your marriage, and I'm not talking about giving up on those that you love. So just table those thoughts for the moment. Not everything, not everybody is worth hanging on to. There's a time for most everything.
Time for love and laughter. The days will pass like summer storms. Winter wind will follow after. But there is love and love is born. There is a time for us to wander. When time is young, so are we. The woods are green.
She is Kelsey Wilson. The group is Whiskey Shivers. It's a 2015 record. In fact, that's the name of the record, Whiskey Shivers, S-H-I-V-E-R-S. The song is There Is a Time. Indeed, there is a time, and this song features Kelsey Wilson. Indeed, there is a time. Is there something that you want to work in your life? Is there something that just no longer is working in your life, or maybe it's not working as well as it once did? Sometimes people ask me about my day work, my day job, and invariably they will ask, well, what exactly is executive coaching, which is the day job? And mostly I will tell them, well, it's really an exploration to help leaders figure out ways to improve. It's literally helping leaders find out what is not working, what is working, and it's got a heavy emphasis on what's not working so we can try to fix that. And those things that are they working as well as they could? Are there ways that we could improve those and make them work even better? And executives and leaders, they're not any different than you. They're not any different than me. They usually just keep doing what they've always done, right? We form these habits and we get into these really comfortable ruts. And hope, well, hope ebbs and flows in all of our lives. But most of us, I think we consistently tend to think that, if we just give it more time, if we'll just give it more time, that will improve it. That will help things.
It's a drag, it's a doggone shame. I danced the same dance, felt the same pain. I heard the same things and I done the same things as you. Yeah, you best believe me, it's true. I worn the same shoe, walked the same walk at least a time or two. And I heard the same thing, done the same things as you. In this time that we live in, it's easy to be.
Give it time. Things may get better. Yeah, I know he slurs his words, but it's kind of cool. It's a cool tune, and he's kind of got a cool style. His name is Eric Lindell, L-I-N-D-E-L-L. It's 2006 record entitled Change in the Weather, and the song is entitled Give It Time. Give it time, and we've all been encouraged to do that. All right, give it time. Parents told us that. Teachers told us that. Employers, they tell us that. Co-workers, yeah, they've told us that. We've heard this from all corners of our life. And I'm not saying that time can't improve some things. For instance, clarity of thought. But you know, time alone, it just rarely improves a thing. Now, I can tell you why time won't just make things better, other than it can give us some clarity, like I said, as we think things over. And it's mostly because life is filled with entropy. Basically, entropy is a lack of order or predictability, gradual decline into disorder. Simply put, when we leave something alone, yeah, it doesn't get better. No, it decays, it declines. Things just don't improve on their own with time. I mean, stop cleaning your house and you are going to see entropy within days, at most weeks. Stop taking care of your car and pretty soon, well, it'll be a beater. Everything in your life will turn to crap if you neglect it. It's just how things roll. And that includes relationships. It works until it stops working. The other night, a young couple, they wanted to visit with me one night, so they decided to converge at my house at a particular hour when they got off work. And each of them, they were coming from a different direction, driving in different cars. And she arrived after having some car repairs performed that day on her car. All right, just one more thing to take care of in the hectic life of this newly married couple. And after a few hours, we said our goodbyes and they left. Well, they tried to leave. His car wouldn't start. He'd not been having any trouble starting this car. It had never happened to him before until it wouldn't start. I mean, her car was the problem vehicle that day until his car decided, well, I'm going to join forces with her car. And that's how it goes, right? That's how it goes for all of us. You've been there. We've all been there. I mean, with everything that just stops working goes wrong. It used to work, and maybe it used to work well, but today it has stopped working altogether, like his car. Or it stopped working as well as it once did. Hello, entropy. Thanks for visiting me when I least expected you or when I'm least prepared to pay your toll. Entropy is the force behind not working. Because entropy, it doesn't knock on your door. It rips your door off the hinges, breaks it into a million pieces, so you have to buy a completely new door. Okay, maybe not at first. Because at first, it just sticks a little bit. And we ignore it. And then it sticks a little bit worse. And then the hinge cracks. And give it time. Give it time. It'll be okay. Surely it will be okay. I mean, you know, like we think we've got this self-healing door. It's kind of like a self-healing hot water heater or anything else in our house that we have to maintain. Yeah, give it time. It'll be okay. No, it won't. It'll get worse. But if you put it off, because now's not a good time. And that's what we do. Now's not a good time. I don't have time to fix you right now. A good time is going to be 10 o'clock at night when you're clear across town from home and you're leaving the home of somebody else that you went to visit, like my house. I mean, that's when entropy demands that you come out and play. And entropy will not be refused. Entropy does not cotton to the answer no. Our lives become dislocated. And sometimes it's neglect. Sometimes it's poor effort. Sometimes it's poor planning. Sometimes it's actions that just don't work. Sometimes it's simple complacency that is caused because, well, it's always worked in the past, and we think, surely it'll still work this time. And sometimes it's all of those things and many other things.
One, two.
Alien in utero, somehow miss New Mexico, fell to earth in Baltimore, I know. Not LA case in empty rooms, birthday cards and red balloons, and me, I know. I invited Johnny Legs and Jackie O. Empty parties filled with people I don't know. I am written in the radio. I dream on my TV. Dislocation.
Counting Crows from a 2014 record entitled Somewhere Under Wonderland, and the song is entitled Dislocation. And, well, that's hello, entropy. This is what happens. I love Counting Crows, by the way. They are one of my favorite bands of all time. Got to go see them some years ago with a group called Augustana, which is also a great group. But I digress. It's all the stuff of stuff that stops working. Do you wait until it stops working, or do you break it before it's broken? That's the logic behind that old adage, you know, if it ain't broke, break it. Oh, you heard that other one? If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Okay, well, that doesn't work either. There's a better one, and there's a better way, and it's one that I would put forth that you should strongly consider. If it ain't broke, fix it anyway. Because it will break. It will break soon enough. Wisdom is found in questions. Wisdom is found in answering the questions. What isn't working? Now, of course, it assumes that we know what's working, and it assumes that we know what is not working, and that is not always the case. Right? The car starts. Works fine until it won't start. And we pop the hood, and we look closely, and we see corrosion all over the battery terminals. Hey, look there. These connectors, they're busted. And we hook up jumper cables, nothing. Looks like the battery's dead as a hammer. And here's the phrase. You've heard this phrase. You ready? Looky here. Looky here. Here's what the problem is. Right? We've all done that. That phrase is in all of our vocabulary. Maybe you're doing that right now in some area of your life. Hey, looky here. Here's the problem. You've popped the hood and you take a closer look at something that deserved an earlier inspection, but now it jumps out at you like this. Well, you've seen this on your own car battery, that blue crusty gunk that's on corroded battery terminals. Looky here. That might be the problem. And then invariably we ask, I wonder how long it's been like that. And we know the answer. It's been like that for a long time. It's been like that for too long because new cars morph into old cars. New houses grow old. It all stops working if we neglect it. And even then, even if we don't neglect it, even then it wears out. Okay, just not as quickly. I'm thinking of all those weird stories of married couples. Why this popped into my head, I have no idea. I'm thinking of these weird stories of married couples, and there's a few of these that I have heard over my lifetime, oddly enough, of people that I at least knew of, where one of them is completely living this double life, you know, this secret side life. You know, the guy, he's got another family living 8 states away. He's married to 2 women at the same time. Neither of them knows about the other. And it's working for him. Well, until he's found out. And then his world blows up. Kind of a happy karma thing. And I always, you hear these stories, and even if they're not people that you know, you hear these stories and it's like, how did he think that would work out? What was he thinking? I don't have a clue. I really don't. I think he's nuts. That's what I think. But maybe we're nuts too, thinking that there are some other things in our lives that'll work out for us when we are behaving poorly. Okay, maybe not. Maybe we're just neglectful. Maybe we're not as bad as he is. And that makes us feel better about ourselves. See, I'm not as bad as that. I mean, I don't have another wife in 8 states away and another family. I'm not that bad of a guy. And somehow that makes us feel better. Okay, well, I'm better than a lying polygamist. Well, aren't I special? Just because something in our life isn't that broken doesn't mean that it's not broken at all. Doesn't mean that there aren't things that we need to improve in our life. You know, lately, most of my professional conversations have centered around schedules and time. A lot of talk about calendars and a lot of talk about white space and building some margin in professional lives. And I'm not a time management guru, but I'm like anybody else. I can play like I am. And oftentimes I do, by the way. For many people, the calendar and the schedule is broken. I mean, that is, it's broken in the sense that it's not working to their best benefit. Broken in that they'd like to make some improvements. They would like some things to be different. Broken in that they are not able to devote as much time to do some things that they know might serve their work better. They just can't seem to squeeze it in. There's the first combo step. And this is the crux of the matter, I think, and that is to identify what's not working while figuring out what does work. No, it's not about multitasking, so get your head off of that. It's a simultaneous kind of a thing. It's less like juggling, and it's more like chewing gum and riding a bike at the same time. Those executives, for instance, that need my help figuring out a better way to run their schedule, they didn't always suffer a time problem. I mean, I've talked with them. It wasn't always like this. All in all, the schedule, it once worked for them. All in all, the workflow, it once was fine. It once was profitable and productive, but it's been a good run. But now it's time to do something different. Maybe things have changed. And maybe the changes have made what once worked now obsolete. You know, that couple that visited me a few nights ago, the ones with car trouble, she's a nurse. And a while back, she went from night shifts to day shifts. Okay, well, guess what? Past habits did not work anymore for her. Her sleep patterns, they had to change. Everything about her schedule had to change because she was no longer working at night. And such a drastic change in life demands changes in, well, most everything. I mean, it was clear to her what needed to change so her habits could keep serving her to perform her duties as a nurse and a wife. She didn't struggle to identify that. I mean, it was clear. She knew exactly the change that had happened. And like those things that jump out at us on closer examination, I think we can often identify what's not working if we would just take the time to look more closely. I am constantly frustrated by a lack of perception, my own and others. It's a pet peeve. And it is a pet peeve, I can tell you, that I've had for a long, long time. In fact, I can't remember not having this as a pet peeve. People who don't pay attention drive me crazy. You know, people who fail to see something, especially when it's obvious to anybody with a minimum degree of perception. But many people and many things and many circumstances, they go unnoticed because we're just not looking, or we're not looking closely enough. I've told the story, but it bears repeating. Many years ago, I had a favorite lunch place that I would go to, and this place had dark hunter green carpet. It wasn't a terribly fancy place, but it was, you know, it was nice enough. And I didn't have any particular favorite section that I sat in. And one day I was waiting, and I was a regular and they knew me. And for some reason, the person that greeted everyone said, you know, do you mind sitting over in this section? It's a new employee. And I'm like, I don't care. So my coworker and I were seated at this table. And she greets us, this new employee of theirs, this new waitress, and she takes our drink order and she walks away. As she walks away, I notice, 10 feet away from us in the booth that we were sitting in, I notice on this dark hunter green carpet, a straw wrapper, a white straw wrapper, right? It had ended up on the floor somehow. And I kept noticing these waiters and waitresses would just step over it. Now, I was running a luxury retail company. Service, big deal. Has always been a big deal, right? You know my roots. I was a hi-fi salesman when I was just a kid. So serving the public especially and just serving customers, I'm fanatical, crazy fanatical about it. And I'm watching these people step over this white straw wrapper. I mean, it sticks out like a sore thumb, right? It's dark hunter green carpet. Nobody's paying attention to it. Our waitress comes back. She puts the drink order on the table, takes our order, turns around, goes straight to the straw wrapper, bends down, picks it up, puts it in her. She had an apron, you know, where she had her stuff, straws and whatnot, and puts it in her apron and walks on. And I'm thinking, I'm impressed. I'm really impressed. Brand new employee, never seen her before. They acknowledged she was new. And guess who was paying the most attention? Well, she was. From that day forward, and for a couple of years, anytime I went in that restaurant, and I went in there multiple times every week, I demanded to sit in her section. And if I had to wait extra to sit in her section, I waited. True story. Paying attention. It's just paying attention.
just a girl in a window across the alley, round the corner. I can see her reading. She has beautiful hands. She twists her hair around her fingers. Sometimes I think she's crying, but there is nothing wrong. I turn off the light. Sometimes I think I could wait forever, but I'm no lawyer. She's just a girl in a window across the alley, around the corner.
His name is Cliff Eberhart. Cliff Eberhart. It's from a 1990 record. The Lone Road. The song is entitled Voyeur. Yeah, he's paying attention. No, it's not a creepy, stalkish kind of a thing. He's paying attention to a girl across the corner. Pays attention to her hands, you know. Listen, few things irk me as much as poor, inattentive service in a restaurant or a retail store. And you can chalk it up to a life spent leading luxury retailing companies where service needs to be spectacular. And as I said earlier, I'm fanatical about customer or shopper experience. And I am completely intolerant of poor service. And I don't cotton to excuses. Now, I don't make a scene. I'm not one of those. But I will confront poor service if it's poor enough. And I will absolutely confront it if it's a lack of attention. But sometimes, you know, it comes home. We don't pay attention to the things that stop working. We neglect to see the things that we need to let go, things that we need to give up. Husbands and wives don't let go of their cell phones long enough to look into each other's eyes. The other day, I was thinking to myself, if my wife and I would just spend a fraction of the time looking into each other's eyes as we do our phones, you know what? We would be looking at each other for an uncomfortable length of time. Pay attention. Pay closer attention. I don't care what you're trying to improve. I'm going to give you the word, and the word is focus. Focus. Focus always benefits the process. That's what you need if you're going to ramp up your attention paying skills. We just don't look closely enough. Many years ago, I got highly motivated to lose weight. And like a lot of people, I had battled it for as long as I could remember. And I'm just packing on a few extra pounds. I mean, I wouldn't describe myself as morbidly obese or anything. I was in my early 30s at the time, and I was just sick and tired of being sick and tired. And part of the process was keeping a food diary. Okay, nothing new about that. Well, except for me, because I'd never done it. And it was easy to look back at the day and say, well, you know, I only ate a sandwich and a few chips at lunch, and then I ate a salad for dinner. Well, truth was, I was not accurately remembering everything that I ate, because until I started keeping a diary, I wasn't paying attention. And that lack of paying attention was killing me. That lack of paying attention was packing on some pounds. And here was the irony of it for me. It was a lesson that I knew very well in another area of life. Expenses, financial expenses. In my early teens, for some reason that I still do not know, nobody taught me this, I just did it, I bought a little ledger. You know, it was one of those little hardback, and it was green. I bought a little green hardback 5x7 inch kind of ledger, and it was a 2-column accounting ledger. And I started writing down every penny I earned in one column, income column. And every penny that I spent, I wrote it in the other column, expenses. I had zero interest or knowledge, by the way, of accounting. But I was very interested in how much money I had, and I was very interested in where that money was going. Now, friends, I just got ridiculed and I got mocked and I got made fun of, because if I went into a store, I remember going to a McDonald's in high school. We were able to go off campus and we went to a McDonald's, and I'm writing down in this little ledger that I kept in my car and I just kept with me. I'm writing down what I spent. If I bought a pack of gum, I logged it in this journal, and friends just, you know, thought it was just colossally ridiculous, you know. And at the time, I remember gum was 10 cents a pack. You're at 10 cents. You kidding me? You tracking 10 cents? I'm like, yeah. I didn't care. Didn't matter. They could make all the fun they wanted. It was important to me because I was paying attention to it. Now, fast forward a few years and I'm in college and I'm still doing it. And my friends, they're not doing it, right? They've never done it. They were always broke. And even though we were all working jobs while we were going to school, they're always broke. And more than a few times, one of them would ask me, man, you've got money. You're not making that much more than I'm making. And I'm stone broke all the time. Would you help me figure this out? You sure? I mean, every single time I had them do the same thing. For 1 month, record every penny you earn and every penny you spend. And I would always tell them, you know, at the end of the month, you're going to know exactly why you're broke. Guess what? They would. They knew exactly why they were broke. Mostly it was due to dining out so much. And you know why? They were not paying attention so they could fix their problem. But the real rub was, did they want to fix their problem? Right? We pay attention to what we care about. We improve the points of our focus. Figuring it out. Boy, there's a theme that seems to come resonating through, I realize, a lot of these podcasts lately, but it seems to be such a pervasive part of wisdom seeking, and that is this figuring it out. Lately, I've been watching a lot of interviews with guitar players. I'm curious about their learning process. And I've watched video interviews with guys like Joe Pass. Now, for those of you that don't know, Joe Pass was this acclaimed jazz guitarist. He died about a decade ago. He was born in 1929, and nobody else in his family played guitar. Nobody in his family played music. It's just him. And he didn't have a record player. And so listening to records, just, it was not the most convenient thing in the world, right? And this is long before the internet, right? So there's no YouTube videos to pay attention to. Got books. And Joe had to learn the hard way in a time before the internet and YouTube. And quite literally, he had to take the time to figure it out. I want you to listen to a conversation that he had. This was back. In fact, I think this interview took place the year he died, in 1994.
I said that this playing the guitar and music is a gift that I've gotten from God, you know.
Oh,
and it's not like I'm lucky or nobody in my family played anything. Mm-hmm. It has to be a gift. And what else? I mean, and I have to now say that I thank God for the gift. I mean, I never thought of it. Yeah, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you, you know, how do you do this? I mean, I didn't go to GIT.
I know.
There wasn't any when I was here.
I know. That's what obviously is the amazing thing is we have so much technical help nowadays to learn to play. And to play, you know, I'm not sure of the years, 40s, 50s?
I started in 1939.
Yeah.
And, I've been playing a long time. And there were a lot of guys that learned. I mean, all the guys before the advent of schools and technology and all that learned to play kind of through experience, most of them. I mean, I had some books. I had like a Nick Lucas book.
Yeah.
And I had a classical book called Carcassi Method, which was a very good book. But I couldn't go. I could only go about 30 pages, and then it got hard.
Yeah. Well, a lot of records in?
A lot of listening to?
I had no record player.
Really?
No, I used to go down to a music store and that were selling instruments. In those days, there were no record stores. instrument stores. Yeah, they sold pianos, and everybody played steel Hawaiian guitar, like this. Yeah, those little, sure. That was, that's okay, it's plywood.
He didn't hurt it.
Anyway, and so the music store sold instruments, and they had a little section with records, and you would buy a Perry Como record or, you know, Three Sons record. And where I lived in Johnstown, Pennsylvania, the guy who worked in the store liked jazz, so he would order one jazz record. Nobody bought it, but we all went down and listened to it.
Oh, he listened to it at the store.
Yeah, at the store, yeah. And that's when I heard Charlie Parker, a record called Sure Enough.
Oh, yeah.
And when I heard that, I said, wow, this is for me.
Did you think, I'd like to do that on guitar?
I just did it. I just took the me and a friend of mine, somehow he had a little portable record player, and we got a whole record and copied the piece. Took us like hours, 8-9 hours, but I liked it so much that I sort of wanted to play like a horn player, so I avoided all kinds of guitar cliches. I mean, I never played and I never did and I never did any Charlie Christian.
You really did?
Never.
Did you ever see him play or meet him?
No. Yeah. I never copied anything that Charlie Christian played. I can't play any of his solos. I don't know how they go. Yeah. But I know some of the charts, you know.
Sure.
And I never copied any of Django Reinhardt's, though I had heard him and I knew. But I copied Charlie Parker and I copied...
Do you remember how you actually did it? Do you remember sitting with a record player?
Yeah, what's with a record? Oh, yeah.
You'd take it off real quick and try to emulate it.
That's like an I Got Rhythm thing.
Sure, yeah.
Now, Joe and his friend, if you caught that, Joe said, you know, oh, yeah, we spent like 9 hours on a song. So Joe and his friend, they're spending hours trying to figure out a single tune by listening closely, paying attention to what they were hearing on the record. And at the same time, they're trying to play the same notes on their guitar. An arduous process. But you know what? Go online and find any interview with Eric Clapton, with Mark Knopfler, or any other older guitarist, famous guitarist, accomplished guitarist. And you know what? You hear the same thing. Players who grew up in an era where the answers weren't as simple as going onto Google and going and finding a YouTube video, right? I mean, they had a much tougher row to hoe. And I'm thinking to myself, right, while I'm listening to Joe talk, I'm sitting here the other day listening to this for the first time, and I'm thinking, oh, maybe there's an advantage to that. Maybe there's an advantage to that era because it demanded focus. It demanded desire. It demanded tenacity. You just didn't have the answers handed to you. You really had to be committed to figuring it out, right? Because if Joe Pass wanted to play, and he did, then he was going to have to devote himself to do whatever it took so he could play. I don't know, but I'm betting Joe as a kid, I'm betting Joe gave up a lot. Friends, they were likely out doing all sorts of things while Joe was glued to a portable record player, right? Lifting the needle up and down off the record, trying to figure out those notes. And how are they doing that? How are they doing that? It's amazing. I've listened to, who knows, countless dozens of interviews with musicians over the years, especially guitarists, who fascinate me because I'm not one. And you hear the same thing. It's this never-ending quest and desire to figure out, how can I do this? Wait, how did you do that? Show me how you did that. It's this determination that is, it required them to learn something new, but it's also the tenacity required to get better. Now, in that very same interview with Joe Pass, he confesses that he no longer travels. He gave something up. He quit something. He no longer travels with a guitar amp. Now, think about this. A touring musician, world-class, accomplished jazz guitarist, he does not travel with an amp. That's right. He gave it up. Let's listen to him tell us why.
Well, the first thing I think people are going to notice when they watch you play tonight is there's no guitar amplifier up there.
Yeah, I'm using a direct box, and I have been for the DI box for the last couple years, and I just go through the house system, mm-hmm. whatever the house is. If I'm in a good room with a good system, I have a good sound. If I'm in a bad room with a bad sound system, I have a bad sound. But I sacrifice that because I don't want to carry any stuff around with me. So
now, is that from years in the studio where you used to just play direct into the you used amps in the studios, didn't
you?
Yeah,
I used the amp always.
Polytone amplifiers?
Always, yeah. Polytone, mm-hmm. always. I just started getting tired of carrying an amp, you know, at the airport and this and that. And then I started using direct box because the sound came out in the room. It sounded bigger. Mm-hmm. You sound... Because I would play with an amp, and I sounded like I was just coming out of here, where the amp was, which is speaker, a 12-inch speaker. That's what you got. You put a mic in front of it still. But when you hear the sound coming from the left side and the right side, mm-hmm. and a lot of players say, but don't you feel uncomfortable because it's like the sound is far away, there's a delay. I like that. Yeah. The worst thing you want to hear is yourself in your ear real loud.
Huh? For sure. I agree.
You know how that feels?
I know. I like that ambient sound of the room.
Room sound. I mean, some guys play with the amplifier right in back, standing up here on a chair. Yeah. You could hear every glitch, every little... And who wants to hear that?
Good run or no, sometimes it's time to move on. Time to give up. But, listen, isn't it easier to give up if it wasn't a good run? If it didn't work, isn't it easier to quit? I mean, you'd think so, wouldn't you? Now, I had plenty of buddies who stayed broke because they spent too much money dining out every week. Yeah, those same guys that said, hey, how do you show me what you're doing? Well, they kept on doing it after I had made them log how much they spent for a month. And you know what would happen 100% of the time? After the month, when they realized this is why I'm broke, I don't remember any of them having the discipline to do anything different. I mean, what they should have said is they should have said, you know, hey, it was fun while it lasted, but I need to start saving some money. That's why statistics claim that a third of us, 36%, I think, according to one article that I'm going to link to in the show notes, which, by the way, you can find by going to leaningtowardwisdom.com. Just plug in the number 4057 up at the top in that search this website. But this particular article mentions 36% of us have set aside $1,000 for savings or retirement. I mean, come on, it's not working. It's never worked. And yet still many of us decide that we will continue to do the same thing, living paycheck to paycheck. So, okay, it wasn't a good run. It didn't work, and yet we're still doing it. We haven't quit. We haven't stopped doing it. What are we thinking? That's why overweight people keep on eating too many calories and neglecting exercise. It's never made us more fit. We know that it won't work, but we continue to do it. Well, I got the answer. There's nothing real terribly hard about it. It's easy. It requires little effort. It doesn't take any effort to spend money. Well, I mean, the only thing it takes is you got to have a little bit, but oh, hey, welcome to the credit age. That changed everything. Put it on plastic. Pay for it later. Doesn't take any effort to overeat or to just sit on a sofa. It's time to quit. And still too few of us do quit. Too few of us do quit these things that don't work, these things that never worked, even things that may have had a good run, but now they're not working. Find somebody who is saving money and working hard to be financially responsible. Find somebody, anybody, I don't care. Watch them carefully, and you are liable to see them ramping up their efforts. You are liable to find them finding ways to save even more, finding ways to earn even more through their investments or cutting costs more effectively. And you know why? Because they operate from an attitude, you know, that worked pretty well, but this might work better. Joe Pass worked once with amplifiers, right? Schlepping these things around the country. That worked. That worked well for his performances. Problem. As Joe got older in life, it wasn't working too well for him. So he stopped. He quit, and he started playing directly into the room's sound system. And it was good while it lasted, traveling with that amp, but you know what? He was willing to sacrifice consistency of sound for convenience and travel. And he was also willing, I think, to put more pressure on the people who would book him to play. You know, you kind of want to make sure you got a good sound system if you're booking him to play, and you know he ain't coming with an amp. Question, what are you willing to give up to make it better? That really is the point. Here's the bottom line. Here's the lead that I bury, as I am wont to do. What are you willing to give up to make it better? I don't know what it is. You're thinking of it, though. You're thinking of something. That's the point of it all. Whether it was a good run or not, something is stopping you from making progress. What is it? Because that's what you have to give up. Jeffrey Gittimer is a famed sales trainer, and I have followed Jeffrey for years and love his work and love his books, and I've been a huge fan and a customer. And he has said for years that he was able to write so many books because he gave up TV. While other people were becoming experts on their favorite sitcom or their favorite drama series, Jeffrey said, "I'm writing books." And he happens to think that other people could do that too. And I'm sure he's right about that. Joe Pass, in spite of nobody in his family being a musician, he went on to become world class. He gave up some things. I'd imagine he gave up quite a lot of things. Joe's gone, and I can't ask him. He died in 1994. Turns out he had enough determination to stick with the guitar, and he had enough talent to become world class. Okay, not everybody does. Not everybody's got enough talent to become world class. But I do suspect this. I suspect that anybody who wants it badly enough will pay the price to achieve some degree of success. Do you agree with that? And those who don't want it badly enough to achieve some degree of success, they won't. They won't. They won't pay the price. They won't quit the things that are standing in their way. Okay, so what success are you spoiling? What success are you ruining because you just won't quit something that's getting in the way? What could you quit that would improve your marriage or your love relationship? What could you quit that would improve your career? What could you quit that would improve your faith? What could you quit that would improve your friendships? Now, there are likely a list of things that you could write under each one of those. Yeah, I'm just saying. We've all got a lot of things in our life that we know would help us excel if we would just quit them. I have a bit of a theory on why this is so hard, by the way, for many of us. It's just a theory. I'll give it to you to consider. I fear, especially here in America, that we have bought into the American lie, and maybe it's not an American lie, maybe it's a universal lie, that we can have it all. You can have it all. No, you can't. But still we try, and still we listen to all these charlatans around us who try to convince us you can have it all. You can eat 6,000 calories a day and maintain good health. No, you can't. Watch 60 hours of television a week, and you can still be accomplished at something other than watching television. No, you can't. Live on Facebook 4 hours a day and be engaged with your friends and your family in the real world, too. Yeah, well, good luck with that. Something has to give. Something has to give. Entropy teaches us that things do not grow better when left unattended. But we've bought into this false belief. Yeah, they do. Things can get better over time. Why? Well, because I'm hoping that they will. I'm hoping that tomorrow will be a better day. Haven't we all grown up hearing that? Get some sleep. You know, tomorrow it'll be better. I do understand, as I said earlier, I understand a night's rest can give us greater clarity. But that just doesn't mean that it, whatever it is, the problem. Okay, it's, hey, daylight's out. Look, the car's healed. Hey, the hot water heater that blew up. It's all better now. It just took me getting one good night's rest. We know how ludicrous that is. We can't buy into the false belief that we can have it all. We need to give up the things that are getting in our way. We need to quit. And so, okay, now you've got the ball. Wrestle those questions to the ground. What could you quit that would improve your marriage or your love life? What could you quit that would improve your career? What could you quit that would improve your faith? What could you quit that would improve your friendships? And I'm sure there are other questions that you can think about. Wrestle those questions to the ground. Choke them out. Because it's up to you to find your way.
There's a light overhead, seems like it don't ever turn green. Late at night in my bed, I get so sick of counting them sheep. I keep waiting for doors to open on my soul.
He is Nathan Angelo. It's from a 2015 record. It's actually, it's an EP, and it's a terrific EP called Carolina. The song is called Find a Way. It's time to do that. It's time for you. It's time for me. It's time for all of us to find a way to quit the things that are hurting us, the things that are foiling our success. Because, hey, all in all, we had a good run up till now. Maybe, maybe not. But it's time to give it up. It's time to move on. It's time to get better. It's time to improve. Maybe it's time to start being that person that you wanted to be. Maybe it's time to start doing that thing that you wanted to do. You know, hey, maybe it's time for me to pick up the guitar and learn some chords and quit looking so longingly at the guys that have the ability to do that. No, I don't. I'm not looking to be a world-class guy at it. Does it mean I can't learn it? Are you like me? Do you think about the time that you first thought about it? I've owned guitars for over 30 years. Now, think about this. How sad is this? If I would have learned 30 years ago, think about how good I might be today. How sad is that? It's pretty sad, isn't it? Is it life-changing? I don't know. Are you haunted like I am by what could have been? By what might have been? Yeah, don't do that. We need to stop doing that. It's time to find a way. My name is Randy Cantrell. The website is leaningtowardwisdom.com, also the name of the podcast. I hope you'll subscribe. There's a Facebook group if you want inside. It's not by invitation only. Just click the link and send the request, and I'll approve it. Love to have you there. I'm coming to you from Dallas, Fort Worth, Texas, from a place that I call the Yellow Studio. Thank you for listening. Valerie Carter is and was a noted backup singer for James Taylor and Jackson Browne, Linda Ronstadt, Don Henley, quite a few others, most notably with James Taylor. Her first record came out in 1977, and it was entitled Just a Stone's Throw Away. In fact, I checked on iTunes before this, and it's the only record that's available through iTunes. And I'm not saying that iTunes is where you get your music, but if it is, that's the only one that's there, and it's terrific, and you should buy it. In fact, it has, I'll just play a snippet of this song. You may have heard this song because this song is on that record, that 1997 record, which, by the way, was produced by Lowell George. You know, Mr. Littlefeet. Yeah, we lost Lowell. Died of a heart attack many years ago, but he was the guy behind Littlefeet. They're still alive, but yeah, you know, since Lowell went away, it's not the same. Well, he produced this record, and the record, it had this hit on it. I've owned this record, since it came out. Bought it in 1977, and I don't know. I know that I've had two copies of the vinyl, and then when it finally came out on CD, I bought that. I've still got the original CD, which is where this track came from. You should buy this record for sure. It's Valerie Carter. It's called Just a Stone's Throw Away. That is the only record you'll find on iTunes. You're going to have to go and do some searching for this next track that I'm going to play for you. Because in 1996, she came out with a record entitled The Way It Is. Now, she wrote a song that Jackson Browne made a hit out of. Well, actually, she co-wrote this song with Jackson Browne and Lowell George. All three of them wrote this tune. It was on, I just went brain dead. Love Needs a Heart. It was on, I'm a Jackson Browne fan. I've just gone brain dead on the record that it was on of his. Running on Empty. I'm thinking Love Needs a Heart. You've probably heard Jackson sing it. Well, Jackson does sing it again, but he sings it with Valerie on this record. Valerie Carter, a 1996 record. The name of the record is The Way It Is. The name of the song is Love Needs a Heart. And you're going to hear Jackson Browne singing this along with Valerie Carter. Enjoy.
Maybe the hardest thing I've ever done was to walk away from you, leaving behind the life that we've begun. I split myself in two.
Trusting and kind, I won't bet. love me.